School shooting in Newtown, Connecticut. Now the latest from WTOP.
CBS News Special Report. I'm Jim Taylor. There is profound sadness in Newtown, Connecticut.
It's a horrific scene. We've never seen anything like this.
Connecticut State Police Lieutenant Paul Vance. 28 people are dead today, all by one hand. 20 of them small children shot in their classroom. Police say 20-year-old Adam Lanza started by killing his mother in her home, then driving to the nearby school where she was a teacher, where he shot and killed the 20 small kids and six adults, and then himself.
Investigators have been spending hours now with Lanza's older brother, Ryan, to see what he might have known about the attack. At this point, though, Ryan Lanza is not believed to be a suspect. And as for that motive, that's still unclear.
As CBS's Bob Orr, second public multiple shooting this week. Here's CBS's John Miller.
What they're worried about is what they call the Werther effect. It is a copycat mechanism, and they say their studies show its particularly powerful effect on adolescents.
CBS News Special Report. I'm Jim Taylor.
It's 8:22 on WTOP. We continue our conversation tonight with Dr. Kathleen Hall. She's founder and CEO of the Mindful Living Network and the Stress Institute. Dr. Hall, we talked a whole lot about how to speak with our kids and make sure that they're okay at times like these. I wonder if some adults need some help, too.
Absolutely. And I think especially we talk about kids, words to use, cognitive things, how to talk to them. And I don't know if you've really talked, because I haven't listened all day, to children are very tactile and they're very sensory-oriented, and it's really important for them to create internal anchors, whether it's something to hold on to, a bracelet, a necklace, some internal anchor. And the same with their adult parents. That's why we have mala beads and all kinds of stress beads and everything. We are physical people. And so we need to remember that, even though we're processing a lot of things psychologically.
Doctor, for those kids and for the teachers and the others that were in that building today, can they ever really get past it, or is it just going to be something that they becomes part of them and they have to live with it?
Yes, of course. It's going to be part of them to live with for the rest of their life. It's kind of like, and again, whether it's mythology, Joseph Campbell's work, in the mythology, there's always, the hero is always going through some dark time, you know, something getting them, something horrible happened. And with a lot of us people, one in four women are raped or horrible situations. They're going to have to live with this. To repress it would be very, very unhealthy. But there's a big difference in repressing and talking about it all the time and reinforcing it, and let neighbors, friends, relatives reinforce it to these children and keep asking them about it.
We have been featuring all kinds of reports, naturally, including interviews with some of the children who were in that school today. And listening to them, it was almost as if they were discussing their favorite toy, or what I'm trying to say is their tone of voice was no different than if they were talking about what their dog does or what they had for lunch. I suppose that suggests they may not be old enough to fully grasp what happened there today.
Yeah, I love that you said that. And that's, again, instead of just talking to them or asking them, lots of times anyone, an adult in trauma or a child in trauma, it's a defensive mechanism. That's why a lot of the people that I've personally worked with, maybe it's art. There are physical, tactile ways to get out what's going on inside of them. So whether it's getting pencils, colored pencils, crayons, paint, art will bring it about, and it will let you know what's going on in your child's mind and heart, which is nonverbal. Also, music. Let them keep choosing music. Listen to what they're doing. And if they play music, it is really amazing nonverbal communication. And another thing you may want to do, which I have found to be very therapeutic to people that are survivors of a lot of things, is go on walks with your children. You may think, why am I going on a walk? But when children go on to walks with their parents, it's disclosure. They communicate. They hold hands. They talk. They'll talk about what happened in school that day. We too often sit across from a child at dinner or sit by them on the couch and directly ask them questions. That just panics them. So if it comes out in a conversation when they're doing art or music or walking or throwing baskets, that is when you're going to get below those layers.
And how do you know when it's time to stop? How do you know when the kids have had enough to say about it, they've said what they need to say, they've worked on it hard enough? How do you know when to stop?
3 to 4 weeks is what I would say. Then after about 3 weeks, maybe 4 weeks, see if they're perseverating on something or a color or a smell. Like I've had people say, you know, they later saw blue and then remembered the child in front of them's blue shirt. And when I've worked with inner city kids that have experienced tremendous violence, it may be a smell. Again, these children are sensory, so they're going to remember things. But if it does get a lot, make sure if it's any time past 4 weeks, don't stop a minute. Go to get some intervention right away.
That's Dr. Kathleen Hall, who's founder and CEO of the Mindful Living Network and the Stress Institute.
Dr. Hall, thank you very much.
Yeah, blessings to all of you. Take care.